Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Are we live?
Yes, yeah, we are live. We're live now.
Right, good. Well, I won't say what I was about to say then.
What were you going to say? Can you tease what you might have said?
I was about to talk about that bloke.
Oh, yeah. That guy. Hey, I had a chat with that guy on...
No.
Well, lovely in person, that's what I'm saying. Ish, right. Well, you know.
Shall we?
Yeah.
Hello, Egg Chasers. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. We're here in the Rugby Dungeon to digest an amazing week of domestic rugby, all the stories from the rugby week, and look ahead to a crunch weekend.
Hang on a second.
What? Is our sound definitely working?
Our sound is working, right? The person we were talking about before, whose name we can't mention, and if you want to know more about this, you should have watched our Facebook video.
Yeah, that makes no sense. That's totally out of any context.
No, yeah, so why have you got a picture of him on your phone?
I just...
Oh, you're going through his Twitter?
No, I just... Well, yes, it doesn't matter. This is an irrelevant conversation, yes. Jamie.
You had a headshot of someone ready to go, which I found weird. Anyway, how are you, Tim?
I'm very well, JB. How are you doing?
I'm in the best of health.
Philip?
Hello. All right. Hello, Tim. Very good, thank you.
Good. Actually, before we get into the rugby, I think this is something that's worthy of mention, I think. And actually, it'll be a nice, upbeat way to begin any show, frankly. And it came from the Hong Kong Sevens. Do you know what I'm...
I know what you're going to do.
You know what I'm going to do. Sebastian Chabal is back.
Oh, yeah!
When I wake up...
He's done a proper video of it now. After doing it on the pitch in Hong Kong, he's done a proper vid. Retirement. I don't know whether that's been treating Chabal well or not. I don't know.
Do we need to do a HIA on Sebastian Chabal?
Well, maybe for that outfit that he's...
Wow. Yeah, he's in a penguin outfit at one stage.
Penguin outfit, caveman outfit, dress and lipstick.
It's amazing, isn't it, to think that our retired internationals just go and work for investment banks doing dinners constantly wearing jackets.
Now, we used to have a section called Rubioki, didn't we?
We did, but in the early days.
For anyone who's been listening for the last 5+ years.
Yeah, what was your favourite Rubioki?
Well, I was going to say, how does that compare to the likes of...
Ben Foden.
Foden was good. Corpse was always good.
Corpse was genuinely good. He... seems to have a natural talent for it.
He's a genuinely good rapper.
Yeah. Foden, a very special nasally singing voice.
Yes, it's true. My favourite was always Ricky Flutie.
With
Heather Small. That's from MP.
People forget how good that was. Wow. how good it was for us.
Is this it?
You know, Bernie, I haven't heard singer listen before, but this time it was amazing because we had Heather Small here, and everyone here is obviously a huge fan of hers. It'll be fantastic for the people that are supporting the day, supporting Wasps, supporting us as players.
Is he playing the guitar?
See her there. I'm sure it's going to be amazing. She's going to be great.
Tim, is he playing the guitar? Is it him playing? Yeah,
it's a privilege to have her along.
Here we go.
I think
that's enough of that.
I think it was better if you like, yeah, I like the surprise of Heather. Is it, I keep wanting to say, is it Heather Small?
Heather Small from M People.
Yeah. What a random connection.
That is.
Well, she was married to John Edwards.
She was,
of
indeed.
Course.
John Edwards. Long jumper.
No.
Triple jumper.
Sean Edwards.
Sean Edwards. Heather Small from M People was married to Sean Edwards.
How did
I not know this?
I am almost certain someone told me they met in Hacienda.
In Manchester in the early 90s.
Well, because you know, we live in Chalton, a suburb. Well, JB and I still do. Phil's moved out even to the suburbs now.
Yeah.
To Vale, no less.
He's really given up.
He values the garage over gastronomy.
Can I pay you lots of extra stamp duty for one extra bedroom, please?
Right. I really want to use a lawnmower. At the end of my road is the house where Mike Pickering lived, and he is the M of M People. He put M People together.
isn't this a terrible indictment of our society? When you said Mike Pickering, I thought you meant the guy who... I thought you meant Ronnie Pickering.
Who's Ronnie Pickering?
I'm Ronnie Pickering! Who are you? I'm Ronnie Pickering!
A rude rage incident that went viral about 4 years ago.
Oh, right, okay.
Oh, did you go with the guy on the motorbike next
It's that indictment of my knowledge of pop culture.
God, I'd be scared if I lived up the road from him.
Well, Chalk.
Anyway, so Heather, but in that house is where Heather Small and M People all got together, and so yeah.
Sean Edwards, probably.
This is probably Sean Edwards. Maybe he was there at a party sometime.
Almost certainly. Also, isn't Mick Hurtle from around here?
Salford.
I'm sure it's Chalton. He's a Manchester lad.
He did have a house in Chalton Green.
Badly drawn boy is always knocking round.
You see him at Co-op getting a bottle of wine every now and quite often.
Do you? Yeah. I would not know who that is.
The Bee Gees were born on
Keppel
Road.
Around the corner.
There you go.
See, it's not just rugby we bring you, all kinds of different parts of British culture.
Parts of niche, posh areas of South Manchester. Well, bohemian areas of South Manchester.
On my actual streets, okay? We've got, I think, two soap stars and John O'Ross.
Does he live on your street?
He lives on your street?
Yeah.
Has he got one of the nice ones at the end?
Yeah. And also, there was a murder on this street not so long ago, so there you go. Right, anyway, let's move this on.
Yes.
Yes, we should. Right, a lot to talk about. The biggest thing I would say of all of this is whatever tournament you look at, there's so many amazing storylines at the minute.
Oh, completely.
Pro 14 is really building to a crescendo, racing for those playoff/Champions Cup spots. Super Rugby is actually really interesting. Jaguares winning again away in South Africa, beating the Bulls.
Did you watch that game?
I watched highlights of that game.
I watched the game. I wasn't out last night, so I sat down to watch Super Rugby. Just no one watched it. I mean, you and I watched it, so that's probably double the attendance. But it was a shame because like the Bulls are a good, proud team. Jaguares are up to something. But just no one watches it.
Yeah. One person that did play very well for Jaguares is Juan Matera, who, again, as we mentioned last week, Leicester Tigers let go. How they could do with a ball-carrying back row right now.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because he's the kind of back row who can do everything as well.
Well, was it confirmed that Labanini signed for them?
Yes.
Right. Have they released that, or have we said that?
No, they've released that. It came from Argentina.
Did it?
Yes.
Because Tigers have got apparently 3 or 4 signings ready to go, but they want to make sure that they're safe before they announce them, which is very exciting. Wow.
I wonder if there's other reasons why they're holding back on those signings.
Ooh, what are the other reasons?
Well, just to double check they're in the Premiership before they...
Oh, right.
Might be a factor.
Yes.
Labanini going to, I don't know...
Ampthill,
yes. Perfect. Walking to the first team pitch over some fields.
Well, when Quinns went down, a load of their big names stayed put, and as we said, when Northampton went down...
Well, that's the thing about these big teams, they don't think to put the clauses in the contracts, do they?
But it's a good question. I saw people debating it on Twitter a little while ago, and I wouldn't know, but I'd be surprised if Leicester...
You'd be amazed if Leicester... I mean,
to want that in your contract as a player, you would end up conceding another point on the contract negotiations. So you'd think you're fairly safe at a club like Leicester, who prior to last year had never not been in the top four.
Oh.
So you just think it's not an issue.
You can guarantee the talk in the Leicester camp. I know what it was last year. Last year, this is not a joke, right? Their goal was to win the European Cup. That was we're going to go hard in Europe and make a good run. That was last year's goal. You know that this year's goal would have been something along the lines of at least top four, minimum.
Yeah, home semi-final, win the thing. would have been the goal.
What a mess.
Right now it is stay up. That is, there can be no other goal than win a couple of games and stay up.
Friday the 12th of April, this coming Friday, is going to be something else. I'm going to have to record one and watch the other, because you've got in the Pro 14 Edinburgh v Ulster,
which is a big
massive game. Conceivably, a number of things could happen in the Pro 14. Conceivably, Ulster, who, but for a little bit of luck or judgment, would have made a semi-final in Europe, could miss out on the Champions Cup, quite conceivably.
Yeah.
Also conceivably is that Benetton qualify for the Champions Cup and no Welsh team qualifies for the Champions Cup. All of those things could happen.
I'm so into that.
In fact, yeah, certainly no Welsh team qualifying is the most likely scenario right now.
That's the other big game this coming weekend. Connacht against Cardiff is a showdown, basically. Potentially winner takes all.
For
a Champions Cup spot and qualifying for the playoffs.
Yeah.
Which is huge.
So these teams in the Pro 14, they've got two games left, haven't they?
Yes.
So Treviso are hosting Munster. Hear me now, believe me later, that's a win for Treviso.
Munster, who need a win, because they will want to have, they'll get a bye to the semi-final, so they won't have to go for the pre-playoff.
Munster are going to go
and
for
a home.
I hope.
So then, Munster will go all out.
And then last game.
And if you're a real fan, you've got to stop calling them Treviso. They ditched that now. They're just Benetton.
Benetton, but they play in Treviso. It might as well. and then last game is Zebre. Away.
So that's a 5-point win.
Well, you'd hope so. I mean, if they're serious about it, which of course they are.
Yeah. Conor O'Shea might have a word. Come on, it's good for Italian rugby if we have a team in the Champions Cup.
Exactly.
Yeah. Don't you want to rest some players, Zebre?
Yeah. Whereas Ulster, so we said before, travel to Edinburgh, but then the final game is they host Leinster. Now, the only saving grace is that's a week after the Champions Cup semi-final.
Yes.
And Leinster are already 20 points clear at the top of Conference B.
So
it is entirely irrelevant to Leinster.
And Leinster put out a very weakened team this week.
Oh, also,
it's still a good team, but they put that team out this week after Europe.
And also, I can't tell you exactly how it works, but Irish welfare protocols, or whatever you want to call it, dictates you've got to rest players against one of the other provinces. So it would make sense if Leinster were going to use that protocol. I don't know if they have to do it in advance. I don't know how it works. I could be completely wrong on this. But that's the time when you probably execute that protocol, wouldn't it, when you're 20 points up in the league after the final of the European Cup?
Semi-final. So they've still got the final to go. They've still got the playoffs and final of the Pro 14
even more
to go.
Reason to use it.
So they will, they'll be resting players.
Interesting times.
Absolutely.
Indeed,
very, very interesting.
But Ulster didn't help themselves this weekend by getting absolutely hammered, a 30-7 loss against Glasgow. Admittedly, a very good Glasgow side who are hurting from the Saracens' defeat. They were at home. And they are top of Conference A. And as we mentioned with Munster before, they want that to finish top. They want the bye. They want the home semi.
One other thing to watch out for is on the final day of regular season matches, Edinburgh could go to Glasgow needing points to get Champions Cup and playoffs. And you can imagine Glasgow quite happily trying to do one over Edinburgh.
Yes. Extra bit of motivation.
So that will be tasty. So it's very, very exciting times at the minute. Before we just jump into the actual games, I'm just going to let's quickly knock off one of the stories that came through in the week. And that is that the Crusaders in Super Rugby are considering a name change after what happened in Christchurch with the shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts, gents?
I have no problem with a private organisation changing its name. Mm. You know, it's up to them, really. I think they'll probably do the right thing. I think.
What do you think the right thing is?
Well, I think the right thing is for them to decide. But what I don't like is the use of external influences to push the Crusaders to make a decision. And I think that's basically what might happen now, is they all get piled on if they make the wrong decision. I also don't like the idea that they're going to hire or outsource this decision to a third party, because, yeah, you know, every time you want to kind of shirk responsibility for something, you say we'll have a review and we'll have an independent third party. So I don't like that, and that never sort of works out the way like the way you want it. And the last thing is, when you say I'm going to ask community leaders, I don't know who that actually is, unless it's your elected representative. Who are these people to talk on your behalf? So there's a load of grey areas, but ultimately it's their choice, and I'm sure they'll make the right choice around it. So, yeah, it's not really much of a rugby story. More of a political story, I guess.
Yes, I guess it is a political story. The context being that the 750 years ago, the Crusades were a religious. So are Saracens. Cardinals. That's a Catholic.
I thought cardinals were a bird. All the cardinals. I think the Arizona Cardinals. Both. Yeah, but I'm pretty sure the Arizona Cardinals play with a bird on their head, not some Pope hats. Although I would be all for them wearing Pope hats.
Well, and wasps, for example, that's not.
Let's go, Charlton Vickers.
Well, wasps being white Anglo-Saxon Protestants.
Oh yeah.
So that is not how former London wasps, Coventry wasps, or whatever you want to call them, are named after.
Devils, saints. There's all sorts of religious terminology used in.
There is.
Used in sport.
Well, I mean, there is like this issue at the moment of Exeter Chiefs and their name.
Well, there's no issue other than the people that want to try and raise an issue, which I don't think there is an issue.
Well, I would say there are cooler names for Chiefs. That's my bigger issue. I mean,
Tin Men.
The Tin Men. I'd love them to be called the Tin Men. It'd be amazing because they've got like an area where real masculine, you know, manly people who went down mines used to live. Why not work off of that? It'd be great. Pasties. Also, they have like little tin hats and bang them and stuff. It'd be brilliant. The Tin Men is one of the coolest names that I can think of.
That argument of cultural appropriation. Anyone that actually believes that, do one
exactly,
because it's that's ridiculous. On this particular Crusaders thing, I kind of agree with you, JB. Actually, I don't particularly care what team name a team chooses. My issue is that actually this is going to be influenced not by
the people
the people that I would want to be involved in making such a decision. It will be weaponized by people with a real political agenda, and then once that happens, then any team called Saracens or Cavaliers or Saints, or they'll be next, and then Warriors and Chiefs and Braves.
I guess,
and you know,
yeah, I guess the thing that really
Arsenal, Rockets. Where does it stop?
I mean, I guess the thing which really bothers me on this is like, you know, how much will it really help the people affected? Will it make their lives materially better or materially worse? And if you want to talk about making people's lives materially better as a community, they should go out and do things as a community, not, you know, get caught up in the semantics of language. But ultimately, I don't really care. If they want to change it, it's up to them.
Yeah.
Should we get into some games?
Yes, please.
So two teams that we've already mentioned was one of the biggest stories of the week, probably. And that is the Tin Men against the Tigers.
Let's go, Tin Men.
Yes.
Now, how on Tigers?
Yeah, that native East Midlands.
Isn't it things with Tigers? Isn't it things with hunting and Tigers?
I thought it was just because of the striped top, but I don't actually know.
Yeah, you carry on talking, I'll find out.
Why are Leicester Tigers called Tigers?
Hold that thought. Stop talking.
Yes.
Why don't you tell me about Cornerstone?
What, the amazing purveyors of incredible razors?
Yes, exact Cornerstone, yes.
I mean, if I were, after the RAF lost in that big services match against the Navy,
let's not talk about that.
I would imagine that the wing commanders in the RAF are all ready to shave off their waxed
moustaches
in shame.
Yeah, that actually should be their punishment.
Yes.
All wax moustaches have to go. Sorry, boys.
Well, that would be quite a rigorous and painful exercise, except for using a Cornerstone razor. So, point being, because you listen to us, you get an amazing deal on the best male order razor company that there is and that we believe in, that we've tried. There are other pretenders that have come on board and tried to copy, but only Cornerstone will send you a metal, weighty, aluminium shaft engraved with your initials for free.
Wow.
Because you listen to us. You've got egg on yours? Or is that Phil's got egg on his?
I've got egg on mine.
Egg on mine?
You've got JB?
No, you've got JB on yours. JB, normal JB.
Yes, and you get another one for your missus and get her initials engraved on it so she doesn't steal yours. Six beautiful Cornerstone razors in a presentation box delivered to your door, and whatever other gubbins you want to get from their website, all you need to do, and you get this for £4 because you listen to us, £4, less than a pint. Try it, You'll love it. Cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. That's cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. And that's that. Yeah, we don't do the egg tent at checkout, do we?
No, no, we don't.
It's automatic.
Which is a shame. I've got nothing more to do on this advert. Oh, no. Anyway, back to some rugby. Here's what we were going to say. Go.
I guess. Yeah. I would assume it had something to do with the kit.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's things with hunting.
Go something? On. What are you thinking?
It's something to do with Leicester's history. Sorry, I'll work it out.
Okay, cool.
Okay. So, this was a 50-point home loss to Leicester.
The biggest ever amount, and the most points Leicester have ever conceded in the Premiership. Ever.
And, so Tim, you were actually at the game.
Mm-hmm.
Interviewing the DORs.
Mm-hmm.
What was the, before we go on to the game itself, what was the atmosphere like at the ground and the stadium, both before the game and after the game?
That's really hard to describe, because the crowd were there in force and in number, and that was really nice to see.
Mm.
And you can contrast that with some other stadiums in the Premiership where the teams are doing very well and their crowds seem to be getting smaller.
Yeah.
So it was a great atmosphere, but I think there was a sense of, right, well, it's not about today, we just need to see improvement today. This wasn't coming from the DOR, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
But there was a sense of resignation that you've got a real proper team rolling into town and
yes.
No expectation. Let's just hope that... But there was a lot of enthusiasm because of the Mike Ford thing, that sort of giving everyone a lift and all kind of, just, I think everyone was waiting to see what would happen. And what happened was actually a bit of mojo in attack, which we saw for a while. There was a bit
times.
Of freedom. And,
yeah.
You've got to say, George Ford, even in a poorly performing team, he has been absolutely brilliant.
Mm. Yeah. Ford is playing some brilliant stuff all round, all season. And you can tell just how kind of impassioned he is for that team and how much losing any game hurts. Never mind losing by 50 points to 20 at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. I question, well, I don't question the talent of the guy. I don't really question how well he's playing. I sort of think, is the fact that he is playing so well a sign of how bad Tigers are? Let me explain that one. Which is, they are forcing him to use every trick he possibly has, where actually he should be doing other things like, you know, controlling the game, kicking for territory, making smart tactical decisions. What I saw of that game was basically a team in Leicester who had almost just given up. I don't mean given up, you know, like they weren't trying hard, but they were just playing everything from everywhere. Like the last 20 minutes resembled like a game of sevens. It was actually sad to see. It was desperate.
But what I would say is, just take the first half in isolation. Actually, they really looked good when they loosened it up and sped it up and used and played everything through George Ford.
Yeah, yeah. And his break for the Johnny May try, who finished off eventually. It was identifying the gap. There's nothing on. It wasn't even front foot ball. It wasn't particularly quick ball. He just identifies the gap, goes through it, steps a few people. He probably deserved a try himself there. So he's doing... You cannot fault him at all. The team around him, though. And so there's two things I'll highlight from this game as just being... a sign of how poor Leicester are. So number one is just some of their decision making and bemusement at penalties they give away.
Yes.
There was Brendan O'Connor and Dan Cole did it on a couple of occasions.
Yeah.
There was more players. I'd hate to single just those two out. But stupid hands in at the ruck or in at the side, get pinged for it, penalty every day of the week, but they look like confused and like they've been hurt by the referee.
I hate that. You see that at level 8.
Yeah.
Like, what's the... I couldn't roll away. Well, you know the laws.
Exactly.
You know the laws.
Well, I asked Jordan Murphy about that after the game, and he just said it was... He said, yeah, it was silly, but it was just angst, and you could see the tension. You can see the tension in the guys. Basically, that's what he thinks that's down to. He may be right.
Yeah, I think it's maybe being a bit kind of kind, because they did give away some stupid penalties.
Yeah, they did.
The other thing, I mean, obviously when you concede 50 points, your defence has not had a great day at the office. But the way that they were defending at times... So I was watching that, and they've got like a mishmash of defensive types. So if you look at their team, you've got some guys... So George Ford and Kyle Eastmond are... I would class them as... They're good or bad defenders, depending on what type of system you play. Because those two actually rarely miss tackles, but they concede ground because they're not big hitters, because they're not big guys. Whereas you contrast that with someone like two guys that went for it quite a lot but ended up missing tackles.
Owen Farrell?
Well, no, in this game.
Oh, right, sorry.
So Tuilagi and Mike Williams, they go for big shots. So they'll shoot out the line, go for a massive shot. If they miss it, you've got a massive hole, and covering that hole, you've got Kyle Eastman and George Ford.
Yeah, you've got the worst small worlds, haven't you?
Yeah, you've got like this... And the defensive structure doesn't seem to set them up in a way that addresses it. It only actually exacerbates it. And when you've got guys like Noel, Santiago Cordero, Woodburn,
Slade
flying through the... it was just a perfect storm of disaster for Leicester Tigers.
I don't know where Leicester Tigers go next, because in my mind they've got to rip up the whole thing though. They've just got to burn it, you know.
Do you think like, going down
records,
would be a good thing?
Salt the earth.
I think because they could just clean house. They could get promoted easily with youngsters.
We're talking about Leicester Tigers. We're not talking about, you know, Worcester.
Yeah.
The best respect to Worcester.
But as you said before, this is 5-6 years in the making.
It is.
It's going to be hard to just go, bang, change it.
Yeah, I mean, the recruitment's been garbage.
The recruitment has been awful.
Or garbage. This is going to be... Well, it might not be controversial now because of where they are, but I think certain players in that team have too much power. You know, I think like the young boys probably have too much of a say of what goes on with the team. I just think they need to get rid of everyone, really. Unless they're on a really big money, long-term... Oh, hang on, that's all of them. yeah, but the ones they can get rid of, they need to get rid of, and I think they just need to start again.
But it's the pack for me. They've tried bringing Lavanini in will help. Lavanini's not going to solve the problem.
But they feel like they're just plugging the gaps. Like, oh, Lavanini's gone. Come in. Oh, brilliant. Well, that'll plug that gap.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I sort of think they need to start all completely from scratch.
Well, Tom Youngs came out and said that he thinks
he should go.
That they've been playing catch up all season because they had a poor pre-season.
That's his.
And they didn't establish things.
I mean, he is a professional, right? I mean, he's a leader. And part of his job is to make sure he's in shape and ready to go.
Well, I don't necessarily say he was talking about in shape. He was talking about, you know, all these system things, like you've established the defensive things. Once you get into a season and you get the grind week after week, game after game, it's hard to make...
And Matt O'Connor was there until...
Exeter.
Yeah, so we played...
First game of the season.
So that is setting the team up for disaster as well. Because I think there's something in that, like... You see how long it takes for new coaches to properly implement new systems.
You've only been seeing it the last month with Chris Boyd coming through at Northampton, what he's been trying to do.
It's taken after
it didn't
Christmas.
Happen straight away for Johan Ackerman.
Yeah.
Well, hang on. Didn't Leicester keep their defensive coach? Did Richard Blaise not stay on?
No.
Has he gone? So who does the defence now?
I can't remember the name.
Oh, is it the guy who used to be...
Doesn't matter. Point being, the head coach changed after week one.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but so
that is bad news.
But you know that goes all the way up to the top. And,
well, yeah,
you know, those guys have got to go. I mean, I think that's pretty much established now. But Jordan, how do you handle Jordan Murphy? He's not a bad fella. He did ask to be there, but it's kind of not his fault that he's been throwing.
Well, no, the question is like, would it have been dramatically different if they'd made a different call on a head coach from Jordan Murphy? I'm not sure it would.
I think it might have, because if it's your first head coach role and you've got to get everything sorted in like the first couple of weeks, you need a guy who's absolutely certain of himself and has probably done it before. Like, it pains me to say it because I didn't think he's a good appointment, but I actually reckon someone like Alan Solomons to get through the season, a guy who's had experience in a load of clubs, you know, might not have the best record, but he could come in instantly, know his own mind, you know, set the tone, and get them to the end of the season. Then they can make the changes.
I tend to agree with that. But 1 week into a new season, who's available?
No one. Well, that's why I said someone like Alan Solomons, because they're usually available. I'm sure if I racked, well. Actually, Mike Ford was available, and I think we said this last week.
Mike Ford was trying to get Germany to a World Cup.
Yeah, I have a feeling he might have told Germany to find their own way to the World Cup.
Yeah,
had Tigers asked him.
But there's so few people available. One again, one week into the season.
Jake White.
Like, what changes from week 22 of the previous season to week 1 of the next season?
Well, didn't Matt O'Connor not show up for training? Or was he 4 weeks late back?
I don't know. I can't remember.
Don't know.
Yeah.
Don't know.
But apparently it was.
But we should focus on the brilliance of Exeter.
Oh, yeah. Some of the individual performances by Exeter. The guys we mentioned who were given a lot of time and space, but boy, did they take it. I mean, that back three is just electric.
Oh, I know.
And Devoto and Slade in the centres. The back row, Kvesic, Armand,
Ewers. Kvesic's been brilliant. Armand's amazing.
That's a lot of Kvesic.
And the front row, like, it's an incredibly dynamic front row, and then you bring three internationals off the bench.
I know. Brilliant. And I'm gonna resurrect, and they did that all with two auxiliary second rows, one of whom got injured during the game. Which is it's phenomenal what they're doing. And what I loved so much is they were maybe 40 points ahead, and Rob Baxter comes on and does his little mid game in the 60 minute, does a quick chat, how's it going? Well, we're a bit disappointed with this. We've got to work on a few things. No, he means it. And I spoke to Ali Heifer after the game, and he was much the same. He's like, yeah, we had a great attacking performance. There's some things we've got to work on. We've got to keep building because, you know, playoffs are 5 weeks away and 6 weeks away, and there's a lot we need to get better at. So that I love
focused
it.
Alex Ferguson was the same way, apparently, which was he used to go insane with his players after they won 3-0 away at Juventus about things that they did wrong. When they lose, apparently he was quite soft. But when they won, he was super hard.
Well, I quite like that. Just the one thing. So I interview the coaches after a game, and whenever, well, not every time, but a lot of the times, when they have an absolutely thumping win, he'll send Ali Heifer out. Never, ever, when Exeter have lost, which isn't very often, has anyone but Rob Baxter come out.
Interesting.
That's good.
It's a mark of the man, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I'd love to know the truth about all this carry-on over at Exeter, because I feel you only get half the story. I mean, they clearly don't just sit down with players for a coffee and go, oh yeah, I quite like the cut of his jib. I mean, there's obviously a load of statistical analysis that goes into it, film watching. Like when Ali Heifer says, yeah, we just play what's in front of us, we know that they're not doing that. Yeah. They're super organised.
I know someone that was very closely looked at for a move to Exeter some years ago.
Like, yeah. Who's that?
And doesn't matter.
Okay.
And they do lots and lots of due diligence, phone calls to people that know them, references, what kind of bloke is he? How is he when the going gets tough?
It's not quite the same.
How does he train? All that sort of stuff is massive on there.
But it's not quite the same, is it, as what they actually say, which is, yeah, we went for Costa. He seemed like a nice bloke. I thought I could trust him. In he comes. It's not that, is it?
Yeah. Absolutely. You're always going to play down compared to reality.
And like the whole Rob Baxter, very calm, nice man. I wonder if he's an absolute nightmare in, you know, in training.
I imagine when he's frustrated, if something's gone wrong or someone oversteps the line, which won't happen often.
No.
I interviewed a guy called Chris Bentley, right? Who used to be he used to be the comms guy at Exeter and used to play there and is and loads of stuff. He described Rob Baxter as the kind of guy who would try to bite your studs. And now he's this paragon of calm.
He was a proper hard man. Him and his younger brother.
Yeah. Is his younger brother an eight? Was he a lock?
Rob Baxter was eight and his younger brother was a lock. All the other way around. Richie.
Yeah.
His brother was the eight.
Yeah.
Definitely.
They were... Richie
Baxter?
They were hard. They were playing when I was at uni.
Definitely hard.
When I was at uni in Exeter and I used to go and watch them a few times. They were tough boys. Rob Baxter's the kind of guy that actually... He wouldn't ever shout at you, would he? When he'd just say,
"Yeah," when
he'd just go, "I'm disappointed."
No,
do you know what? You haven't. It's not just you've let me down; you've let yourself
even
down.
Even more intimidating. He never raises his voice when he's angry. He lowers it.
Yes, right. I'm going to have to resurrect something that's been a bit of a cliche of mine over the years. But just how is Don Armand not closer to the England team? I'm not saying he should be in the squad, but how is he not closer? Brad Shields does not deserve a spot in the England squad over Don Armand. Ben Earl doesn't deserve a spot in the England squad over Don Armand. And maybe even Nathan Hughes doesn't deserve a spot in the England squad over Don Armand.
Yes. Yeah, somehow Eddie Jones is still a genius. Somehow England are in... it's not the fact that all of these players are so much better than Don Armand, which they're obviously not. It's...
Oh, and Jack Clifford. And Jack Clifford as well.
Yeah. And Jack Clifford, yes.
Yeah, because there's an argument. Sorry to interrupt you, Jamie.
Please.
There's an argument if you wanted Ben Earl, Jack Clifford, Brad Shields in your squad because they're all versatile back row players that can play across several positions, then take your pick from Matt Kovacic or Don Armand.
Exactly.
Yeah.
To me, it's not really about the quality of the players. It's about the quality of decision making in the England camp. That's where I come down on this, because it's obvious. If you were to do me a trade, do you want these four players for your new startup team, or do you want Don Armand? I think I'd still go with Don Armand.
Anyway, I'll tell you what, it is an interesting one. I've got the very first time, and it shows where Leicester have come to, that where they're at now, they're getting pumped by Exeter Chiefs, who in 2011 played their first ever game at Welford Road. Oh. I've got the Leicester lineup from that game in 2011.
2011. Okay.
Ooh, this is exciting.
Exeter played their first game at Welford Road, right, in the Premiership.
Can I guess it?
Leicester won it.
The Leicester team?
Are we going to guess? Do you want to take it in turns?
Just take it in turns, yeah, go on.
Shall we work from 1 through to 15?
Okay, so Marcus Ayers at 1.
He was actually on the bench.
What?
Yeah.
Was Julian White starting?
No, Julian White wasn't still around at this point. Okay. So the loose head prop was Boris Stankovic.
Okay.
Okay.
On this particular day, they were letting Marcus Ayers start on the bench.
Nice impact.
Hooker.
Youngs.
No. He'd been at Nottingham at this time, just converting.
Oh my
to
word!
A hooker.
This is old school.
So it was
gone.
George Shooter.
Yes, of course it was.
Of course, Shooter.
Tight head prop.
Dan Cole.
Yes, Dan Cole with Castro Giovanni on the bench.
Right, yeah, of course. Locks.
You won't get these. So
Deacon.
They were obviously rotating people in.
Not Parlin.
No, they had Callum Green.
Oh,
who,
wow.
Who was a Nottingham lad who went to Leicester.
And he's now at Newcastle.
And word is going back to Leicester.
He is going back to Leicester, yes. That is true.
And the other lock, George Skivington.
Oh, who went to London Irish.
Yes, with Ed Slater on the bench. So far, the bench, Castro Giovanni, Ayersa, Slater.
And the bench.
Back row was...
Croft.
Croft on the bench.
Moody?
No.
Waldrum?
Waldrum, number 8.
Yeah.
Flankers were Craig Newby. And Ben Woods.
We would have been going a long time before
So the point is, Leicester were rotating players in. A bench so far, Castro Giovanni, Ayersa, Slater, Croft. Scrum half.
Youngs.
Yes, correct. Fly half you won't get.
Flood, not Flood.
No. Hang on.
You won't get him. You won't get him.
Romero Pez.
No, you won't get him.
Romero Pez.
Jeremy Staunton.
Oh, I would have got that. Given enough time.
Given enough time, yeah, we don't have that kind of time.
I've not got enough time to do that.
Now, I'll say that the rest of the bench was James Grindle, scrum half, Billy 12 Trees, and Manu Tuilagi. Joe Duffy was the hooker. So the bench.
Oh, Joe Duffy.
The bench for Leicester on that day, Castro Giovanni, Ayersa, Slater, Croft, 12 Trees, Tuilagi.
Yeah, they worked out all right for him.
Centre partnership?
Yeah.
Hipkiss?
Yes.
Erinley?
No.
Did he ever play Leicester? I don't know why he said.
No, he's at Wasps.
No.
Wasps, then Biarritz. And Nottingham.
Because Hipkiss and Erinley once played for England together in the centre partnership.
I'm sure Erinley had a little stint at Leicester.
The inside centre is now a coach at Leicester. Defence coach.
Anthony Allen.
Yes.
England's great lost player.
Yeah.
The wingers.
Tuilagi.
Yes, Alassana
Tuilagi.
Yes. Murphy on the fullback.
Fullback Murphy and the other winger, New Zealander.
Craig Hamilton.
Scott Hamilton, yeah.
Scott Hamilton. Who's Craig Hamilton?
Pretty tiny team, and they were rotating a load of players in for that one. Now they couldn't buy a win against Exeter.
Yeah, they're so far off, it's frightening, actually.
Exeter have got a home semi-final now, four games left. It's absolutely bonkers.
Yeah.
Well, not. The difference between the top two and everyone else is pretty stark.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
What are we talking about? Another game, which I enjoyed.
Go on.
Sale? Anyone see Sale?
Ding.
Hang on. I think I've actually got it. I'm not going to press anything because I don't know what they are. you were at this game also,
yes.
Tim.
Yes.
This is an impressive performance.
It was. It was.
So I've not seen the game.
Well.
It was 3-1 to Quinns.
Quinns, yeah.
But the boot of AJ.
AJ.
7 penalties.
Yeah. So
I'm gonna say
a couple of things.
Quinns lost this.
Yeah.
Sale were good. Quinns lost it rather than
Quinns
Sale winning it.
Utterly reckless.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they got their tries through reckless play because, you know, sometimes when you do strange things, it comes off. But, you know, the penalties they gave away were just dreadful. For a team wants to get top four, they are miles off. And you could blame the referee, except for the referee's Wayne Barnes and doesn't really make mistakes. So it's not on the ref.
There's three straight Premiership defeats now for Quins. They are having a proper wobble.
And I actually thought, when I was watching this game, Robshaw makes one hell of a steal. Like, first 5 minutes, just gets through the breakdown, steal.
Don Brandt breaks.
Yeah.
Amazing offload.
Yeah, oh my word, this is going to be a long, long night.
It was looking like it was going to be a long night.
Don Brandt was carrying the ball like a loaf of bread.
Yeah.
And just offloading it whilst bumping people off his massive chest. I thought,
playing only for Cardiff Met Uni last season?
Yeah.
Well, weirdly, right?
Unbelievable.
A friend of mine dug up an article about Thomas Francis being in the Leeds University, was it?
Second team.
No, it wasn't second team. It wasn't like the...
Freshest.
No, second team of the year or something.
Wow.
Yeah.
But Don Brandt wasn't playing club rugby in Wales last year.
I can't imagine he was.
Wow. It's unbelievable.
Brilliant. He's a very good player.
So I sometimes wonder about like guys who are maybe a little bit smaller when they're coming through age grade. Don't you? You can see why someone's... I'm not saying this is the case, but someone like Marcus Watson, for example, who came through like sevens and came into senior rugby a little bit late because he's a little bit lighter on his feet, a little bit smaller guy. Someone like Don Brandt, who's absolutely massive.
And plays in the back row.
Yeah.
Well, he was playing lock for Cardiff Met.
Oh, right.
He got the nickname Dominator.
I can see why that would. I mean, nothing stacks up here, does it, as to why he wasn't recognised earlier?
No.
Are Cardiff Met any good?
They've signed one of his mates from that team for next season.
Ultimately, Quins were very disappointing. Kyle Sinclair had a miserable, miserable game. He played with all the worst bits of Kyle Sinclair without any of the redeeming features. You could see him, actually. Do you notice this? When they were going for lineouts, he was talking at the assistant referee.
Yeah.
Like, and he just didn't shut up. I don't know what he had to say to the assistant ref, but he never stopped.
So, on that, when I was watching that game, and I watched Quins the week before in the Challenge Cup quarter-final against Worcester, and they got pumped in the scrum then. They got even more so pumped in the scrum against Sale. They got absolutely annihilated.
It was like, I mean, Ross Harrison,
half a dozen pens in scrum time. But what I think you saw in that whole Quins team, but more so in Kyle Sinclair than most, was still the psychological impact of getting dicked in the scrums. You must have played for Sedgley Park in some championship games. Yeah. And even in the back three, it plays with your mind. You make different decisions. You're suddenly a bit more scared about knocking on because you don't want to scrum, so you clutch at stuff. The whole confidence... And I still love that it has that effect. The whole confidence of being dicked at scrum time, and bearing in mind there's only 10, 12 scrums a game, maybe. But it has a massive effect, and I think that was a massive part of why Kyle Sinclair was just getting more and more wound up.
But this is not a good look for him. I mean, not only is it not a good look for him, he's got to play in the same front row as potentially Marler and also Ward. Ward of him's got to stay calm, because I've said it before, like, they all sort of lose it in a similar manner. They're all mouthy. You can have one of them, you can't have all three of them.
Well, I think there's most props, when you get dicked as badly as Quins did, most props get angsty, and there'll be little scuffles and fights and stuff, because it's a real head-to-head mano a mano type thing.
Did you see enough from Ross Harrison say, maybe have a look at him for England though?
No.
Really?
No, I not because he's not a great player, but because the guys in front of him are better than him. So, and there's a lot of them. Loosehead, we're stacked with...
It's all about Mako, isn't it?
Mako, yes.
And then everyone's fighting for the next...
Ben Moon, great.
Genji's very good.
He's outside of that with Hepburn and Harrison might be just below that.
I think Hepburn and Harrison should be the two which start to move up, actually, because they can do... I don't think either of them is as good a runner as Genge. I don't think either of them is as good a scrummager as Moon, but actually they're a nice little, option.
That's not a criticism, it's just he's unfortunate to be in a position that England have a lot of good players.
And I'm going
to
mention one other guy and then we can move off Sale, but I think it's important that we do mention him because I thought he was exceptional, which was the younger of the two James brothers, Luke James. What a game he had. I don't think he's 20 and I don't think he's a fullback, and yet he is looking awesome. He made very few mistakes. That's sort of his hallmark. Some of his offloads were outrageous. And it just shows, you know, they had a space open up at fullback because they don't really have a fullback there. They've got a kid who hasn't even been looked at by the under-20s. So England under-20s, Sale have got so many of them. In fact, I interviewed three of them on Friday night.
In the Sharkey.
Yep, in the Sharkey. And then you've got other ones like Connor Doherty, you've got the Currys, you've got all these lads. But actually, the one who's making a real impact is Luke James, out of position. He was amazing.
One little observation from this game was, and it's something we've said a bunch, why do teams not take 3 points?
So it's a thing, isn't it?
Just before half time. Well, firstly, and actually, so Quins was 7-0 up, about to go 14-0 up. Danny Kerr, who was awesome again, and definitely deserves time with the English squad. He's absolutely on fire at the minute. But so Danny Kerr went to dot down. Half after Clerk stopped
that
him from scoring.
That is one of the best try-saving tackles I've ever seen.
And so important, because that's 14-0.
Yeah.
Or and then Sale ended up going ahead from 7-0 down.
To do what he did, to dive on Kerr, because Kerr's already sliding with the ball on the floor, and to accelerate, to use his own body weight and roll with his momentum, his body weight, and Kerr's body weight inches before the line, that was an unbelievable bit of skill.
Yeah.
I mean, how on earth do you train? How do you know you can do, like, the angles, the force you have to apply to do that?
Faf de Klerk has amazing body control. I imagine he's a great grappler.
I was thinking to have him as like a gymnast on a bar or rings or something like that. Just the control.
So
phenomenal.
That would have been 14-0, and I think the game would have been very different. But equally, just before half time, Quins had a very kickable 3-point option. Went for the corner, ballsed it up, interception try. That's a 10-point swing.
Yeah.
What are you doing? You're trying to get a top four spot, you're going away to Sale. What are you playing at?
And presumably they've had the chat, haven't they? It's not easy to come away from here with a win.
No.
Because it's not. You know, you're right, they should have gone for 3 points. It's simple as that. It was reckless. But that's how they scored their points to start with, you know, relatively reckless play. I thought it was interesting that they started Catch Kalis.
Yeah. I was a bit surprised at that.
His first Premiership start since last March.
Yeah, you mentioned that, didn't you, on BT? And, well, I understand Catch Kalis is there as a replacement for Nick Evans. So they obviously rate him. He's on big money. Eventually the boy's going to have to start. But he didn't look very good.
Well, apparently they were trying to sign Cipriani, so I don't think they were. I think they're trying to... I wouldn't be surprised if they would have had to have moved him on to accommodate.
Oh, no, he's got... And I wonder if that's exactly what is happening.
Like, last week it's like, is there anywhere do you fancy going? And then this week, you're starting.
Yeah, you're in.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right there. I think there is an element of that, which is, well, we may as well give him one more crack, see if he's up to it, and if he's not, you know, we're going to have to release the £300,000 that was sunk into him, or whatever that figure is. Mm. Because if you come from Montpellier as their starter, and you're called the Greek God, that's your nickname, you'd expect to be fairly good. And
he's
fairly
had rotten luck. He's had rotten luck with his injuries, and his confidence, he looked shot.
It wasn't bad, actually. I'm not going to say he's bad, because he wasn't. But
he threw the interception pass.
Yeah, anyway. He did. He did do that. One last thing on this game. It's not about this game. It's about something I noticed at the Ruck, and I wonder if it's going to become a more broader trend. Did you notice how Harlequins dealt with the Currys?
Yes, I did.
Did you notice this?
I've only seen that brief highlight.
Tom Curry didn't get a single turnover all night.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, so they basically just jumped on him.
Yeah.
So if you think about, usually you're trying to win the shoulder contest and you're trying to collide with people, you know, and you get it wrong. Like Tom Young's got it wrong. You get red card, it's dangerous.
You can't push Tom Curry off his feet.
Yeah.
Because he's so good in that low position. So strong.
Imagine
you can't push him off his feet. Yeah. And they did a demo of this beforehand with, they got some local kids, and David Flatman and Ugo were like, well, so how do you get Tom Curry off his feet? And they were sort of saying the different techniques you try. What they didn't do in the demo was just belly flop on him.
That's all they're doing. So one Harlequins player would literally belly flop onto Tom Curry, and the next one would belly flop onto the back of the guy who's just belly flopped on him.
You've got 30 odd stone on top of him.
Now he's a strong boy, but you know,
and then he's on his knees, and then he's out of the game.
Yes,
which is the players going off, the Harlequins players are not supporting their own body weight.
Yeah, and then Harlequins lost.
But they were very clever.
Yeah,
they made it look like the picture that was painted was Tom Curry's gone off his feet, so the Quinns guy's gone down with him.
Yeah. Okay.
It was smart. It was good.
Here's the question about that, right? Now that amateurs like us have noticed it, every coach in the world will have noticed it because that's what they do. If you're World Rugby or the people in charge of the rules, do you say that's quite a smart and yet relatively safe way to get rid of a jackler? Or do you outlaw it and send out a directive saying no more belly flopping onto players?
Well, more pressing, and maybe we'll tie this one into the Tom Youngs thing, is you can hear the noises, you can hear the people cranking up. They've gone, we've got the tackles lower now, what can we get at now, ruck? And there's a lot of talk. World Rugby says they're going to think about outlawing the jackaler.
Hate that.
Yeah.
Hate it.
I hate that.
Well, yeah, from what I seem to remember, it was they've not said that, but they said they're going to look at the contest of the ruck. And then there was the Stuart Barnes and Sam Peters piece, which said what they are going to be looking at is outlawing the jackal.
Yeah.
Which I don't like outlawing the jackal.
You don't care about player welfare. What I do want is.
I want it to be a true contest, and I want the defensive player to be supporting his own body weight, not on his hands, not on his elbows, not on the player,
yes,
on the floor.
100%.
Because it's a lot easier to drive past one 18-stone player than it is with one 18-stone player anchored down by an 18-stone player on the floor.
Yeah. And I'll tell you the other thing that we're just starting to do as well. I say starting, I mean, they've been doing it for ages. But the jackler now, if you think about, yeah, he goes over. Well, the next guy then gets on the jackler to support him. There's no real attempt to pick the ball up and play with it. They just want to secure it. So I secure the jackler so when they, you know, latch on, they can't roll him off or destabilise him. You know, it's pretty brutal in there.
Well, I think it should be brutal, though, there are times that I'm seeing it, and I just think the referees, they can solve a lot of this issue. Maybe not the Tom Youngs one. I think that was just a bit of a freak accident.
Tom
Youngs is doing what he's been trained to do, what they practice doing. He had every good intention. It's hard to pull out at the last second because he was cleaning out a player that was on in the way, who then rolled out of the way, and he didn't need to hit him. So fine red card. I haven't got a problem, I'm going to stop short of saying
he's not a thug, is he?
I'm not going to stop short of saying that he did anything wrong.
Yeah,
majorly.
He could have. So there wasn't an attempt to bind. Which then, if you hit...
Oh, there was.
Maybe with
there
one
was.
But
there was. It's hard to... Again, when you're going at a letterbox size target...
Such a dynamic thing going on.
He did.
He went straight off his feet as well.
Oh, yeah, well, I get that, but the guy's...
And then he's out of control, and then he's reckless.
The guy's half a foot off the ground. So, listen, one thing I will say, and I'm not going to name any names, but people in the game... People around the game in the game will say very different things on Twitter or publicly than they will actually say what they actually think. People are scared to say what they actually think in some cases.
I think you're right. I actually do think you're right. There's a certain thing you have to say and a certain thing which you want to say. And, you know, you've got to be on the right side of public opinion.
Yeah, that's...
I don't blame them.
But that is what's going on. I think one thing that refs can do, the ones that we can get rid of, are the ones where the jackaler has got in a good position, strong over the ball, and the ref doesn't just ping it quickly. Because what are you going to do if you're a player, a guy's jackaling, a couple of guys have tried to get him off, right, I've got to do this, steam in from 10 metres out, bang.
Yeah.
Actually, blow. If he's in a good position, if he's got it, just blow it.
Yeah.
Get it done early.
That's a good point.
Yeah, so... I don't know, I've spoken to you about this before, Tim. Have you ever seen Sam Warburton... tutorial on rugby, BT Sports Rugby Tonight, about how to clear out a ruck?
If I have, I can't remember it.
So you've got three phases of a ruck, right? So he goes, okay, first of all, the threat's coming towards you, but the threat's not on the ball, so you cover the ball. That's a ball-focused ruck. Secondly, the threat is closer to the ball than you would like. You clear out the player. That's a threat-focused ruck. So you're clearing out the threat, you leave the ball for the next guy. Then there's the emergency situation, phase three, where the guy has got his hands on the ball. How do you think Sam Warburton described clearing out that guy?
Now, before you say this, bear in mind, this is a guy who probably would have had a much longer career had he not been the recipient of lots of these type of hits at ruck time as one of the best jacklers ever in the world.
is, you'd describe it as, I don't know, an aggressive clear out.
Well, more than that, he describes the area between your shoulder, like where your shoulder blades intersect with your spine. Like, imagine that little cross there. And it's basically, hit that as hard as you can. It's like, goodness me, that sounds terrifying. I mean, I bet some organs can generate quite a bit of power.
Yeah.
Imagine Don Brunt doing that when you're neatly tucked over
or
a ball.
Armand.
Don Armand, goodness. Haskell. You know, that's what these guys are trained to do. So, yes, it is brutal in there.
What about...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So there was another situation that happened today, and all, we have said before, we just want consistency.
Absolutely,
Northampton game. I was a little bit annoyed last week about Juan Imhoff and his red card for Racing against Toulouse.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, it didn't affect the result, and it was an amazing game. It was great. I'm not suggesting this would have changed the result at all. Quite the contrary. But what was the difference? And I don't agree that that was a red card last week for Juan Imhoff. There was mitigating factors in that he was the attacking player was dipping against Naira Voro. Naira Voro is running in, and it was Valrapava Ruskin for Gloucester was tackling, almost identical attacking player dipped. Rapava Ruskin's shoulder, head, but Rapava Ruskin was in a dipped position, and the attacking player dipped his shoulder and head into the shoulder of Valrapava Ruskin, much like Juan Imhoff, and the ref said, scrum, play on.
And is Heinrich Brusso, who was...
Oh yeah, Heinrich Brusso, thank
immediately,
you.
Immediately, sorry.
Knocked out, yeah.
Immediately knocked out.
Ooh.
And it was, so, the bit that we... Consistency is exactly the right point to raise, because the tackle was almost identical to the principle of the tackle last week. Last week it wasn't; it was on neck. There was a bit of a whiplash effect for Imhoff, but he certainly wasn't knocked out.
No,
this time it was full force of shoulder onto head, and Brusso was down. Now, this is where, so I flagged it last week, that there's, you have to at some point when a tackler when a ball carrier is dipping, you have to at some point say, well, there's no, the front part of his body is his head, there is no other, unless you're going to tackle his ankles, there's almost no other way you can go. I don't think that's in the law anywhere, but referees apply that to their discretion. Here, Brusso was low. Could Rapava Ruskin have gone lower? Yes, absolutely he could.
Yeah.
The inconsistency of two almost identical tackles last week to this week, and
scrum,
one being
red card,
one being
nothing. No,
and he looked at it as well,
he
said he was dipping, but I still don't know what the law is.
No.
So I would be okay with either. I probably would have preferred more of a penalty or yellow, or possibly even red for consistency for the Brusso tackle, the Rapava Ruskin one. But now, if that happens a third time next week, I don't know what I'm going to think.
Mm.
Where is the consistency? And it's a real big issue for World Rugby, that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope Brusso is okay, though, because he was out for 3 months before Christmas with concussion issues. And it was a bad hit. He was straight out, and he was down for quite a while. So get well soon, Heinrich.
100%. No, that's one thing we are agreed on.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So talking on this game, it was a brutal game. Both teams lost a number of players to the point where Gloucester played about 30 minutes with Jake Pelledri as their wing, which was a planned strategy.
Yeah, they said they trained for it.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
They went for a 6-2 split.
6-2.
Well, they would have trained for it then.
Yeah. Because they were dropping like flies, the Gloucester team, and they were missing a few players anyway. But this felt like a... So for that reason, for the players dropping out, but also because there was, at times, defence optional.
Yeah, there's lots of missed tackles.
It felt like it had been a long season and there were some tired bodies out there. There were some...
Tired bodies, but combined with the new, improved, more exciting Northampton Saints... It's an absolute disaster waiting to happen. I think this is a marvellous win for Gloucester because Northampton are severely dangerous now.
Had Saints won that, the top four would be busted right open.
Yeah.
All bets would be off.
Yeah, yeah.
As it is, I think Gloucester have now cemented they're going to get
Gloucester
third.
Gloucester, definitely.
And they're 11 the points clear from basically fifth. It looks like it's Sale or Quins for fourth.
Or Bath.
Sale or Quins, sorry.
Yeah. But Northampton... They scored some very good tries. Hutchinson late on got a beautiful try. Nairavoro early on got a great try. Where they struggled was the pack. That Gloucester pack is massive. It's efficient. It's well drilled.
Did Banahan play?
Yeah.
So Banahan missed. So the Nairavoro try, the first one, Banahan just didn't really bother. He kind of made it look like he was making an attempt to tackle him and fell on the floor. But then Nairavoro had a one-on-one defensively with inside centre. Yeah, inside centre, ball player Atkinson. Yeah.
And notorious speedster.
Yes.
Got bumped off by Atkinson.
Sausage legs.
Yeah, well, I think you got like Nairavoro missed that tackle. Manu Tuilagi missed the regulation tackle to let in Ollie Woodburn for a try.
Yeah. Mm. There's some dodgy defending going on at various points. No, that is a very good win for Gloucester. It definitely cements their place.
Talking of cementing places, not that anyone cares outside of our immediate group, I've just won my matchup on Fantasy Rugby by 0.4.
Wait till the morning, the scores get readjusted. Don't keep the champagne on ice till then.
Banahan, 19 points, you legend.
You're still, though, officially now, I think, we can now say it, JB is officially the worst player in our league. By JB's own rules, he should be... relegated. Should be out of the league.
Well, as a commissioner, we never pass those rules, do we? So there we go.
It's like Gavin's Law.
You are 0.4 points up, but you might not finish like that because they can get recalculated tomorrow.
Yeah, well,
because you know how the Opta guys work. I always thought it was some GPS official, some computerized thing.
I thought there'd be five or six gadgets that look much like Johnny Five. Do you remember like the old? And they'd be up and down the touchline measuring things. No, it's a guy with spectacles saying 5 meters. 5 meters, Jeff. Yeah, 5 meters. Checking team sheets to see who missed a tackle and then interpreting the missed tackle.
Jay, are you seriously celebrating your fourth win in 18 games or potentially your fourth win in 18 games?
Well, obviously I am. It means more.
Which would be... But your points, with comfortably the lowest points scored, you are guaranteed to be bottom, whatever the result.
Shame. But, I've still got...
I've got mid-table mediocrity and Phil is the best in our league. And are you still the best in the...
I don't know if...
it doesn't really matter. This is inside baseball. But it's hard to be the best in the country or the world when you're in such a competitive league.
Yes, the best league.
We are the best because we are the best league in the world. Fact. I would say
of the 18 regulation seasons, only the first week did I score less than 100. Every single other week I've scored over 100 points.
Yeah, so in my back division I've got... AJ McGinty, Sam James, Van Rensburg, Denny Salamona. But I've let myself down with Liam Williams and Banahan. So I know where I've gone wrong for next season.
Yeah, more sale players.
Yeah, I'll be correcting that.
Well, I made the mistake of picking up some Wasps players.
Have you finished with the Gloucester game? You spoke about it, but
Great game.
It was an amazing game.
Good atmosphere. Really important. Every game mattered this weekend. It was so good.
I would be very afraid of Northampton next year.
I would be very afraid of a ring-fenced premiership. Because this weekend would have been dull.
Yeah, it would have been rubbish.
By comparison.
Yeah, it would have, wouldn't it? I'm not even for ring... I mean, no, sorry. I am actually for ring fencing, I should say. But it is a harder... It's a harder argument to make when you've got weekends like this.
Absolutely. Yeah. You would simply wouldn't have got it anywhere near the kind of quality in the drama. So, interestingly, so Leicester obviously got hammered at home. We spoke about that game. Bristol in the clash against Bath. They did sneak a losing bonus point.
Yeah.
Did they?
But nothing else.
Oh, yeah, 7 points.
Yeah.
Dan Thomas got that late try. Did you see the way Bath arrived at Twickenham? They had a...
I saw the smoke cannons.
Yeah, they had a nice Bath blue, black, blue and white carpet, which presumably they just had, you know, made sure it was nicely vacuumed by Dyson just before they arrived, taking them into Twickenham. But yeah, smoke cannons were there, which it kind of made it look like...
There's a good turnout.
It looked like they were sort of disinfecting the guys, just, you know, you come from the West Country to... You country folk, we better make sure we don't get any foot and mouth in the capital.
Exactly.
It was an odd look.
It's quite a good turnout for that little walk-in.
Yeah, it was.
And for the game itself.
60,000 in total for the...
Oh, yeah. Can we talk about the farce of Bath's Flyhoff signing this week?
Oh, big announcement.
Huge. So,
and Blackadder is delighted to have secured his services.
Didn't he announce, so let's just recap. Didn't they announce that Rhys Priestland was leaving?
Leaving the club, yeah.
They announced that Rhys Priestland is leaving. Then they're linked with Andre Pollard. They're linked with Gareth Ainscombe.
Yes.
They're linked with Danny Cipriani.
Can't wait.
They're linked with AJ McGinty. And then, Rhys Priestland has re-signed.
Yes, we've got our international
boys. Because they decided, no, we don't want you, Gareth Ainscombe. We don't want you, Andre Pollard. We don't want you, AJ McGinty. We don't want you, Aaron Cruden. We don't want you, Danny Cipriani. After saying we wanted him gone, all along we wanted you, Rhys.
After an extensive worldwide search of all the potential fly half talent.
I'm playing some Bath re-signing music.
Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Yes.
good.
It's amazing. Rhys Priestland must be the happiest man on earth. Because presumably he's not going to be re-signing for any less money. And he's already on a lot to start with.
He also got a 2-year deal.
Did he?
So Bath really decided that they wanted him. Because you might think, if they were on a worldwide search, you might go, well, we haven't managed to pin down the one we want. So
yeah,
we'll give you a year. We'll give you a year. Maybe a one with an optional second, but no, they've committed to a 2-year deal.
So here's how I'd look at it, right? Every time Rhys Priestland makes a mistake, and also Freddie Burns makes a mistake, you pay for it. Did I mention this last week?
Don't think so.
Well, yeah, you literally pay for it, because you are paying a lot of money to these two boys to make mistakes, and they're not improving. You know what they are now. At least go with the kid, because every time they make a mistake, they learn from it. And, you know, kind of, you might make that argument, that's why it's okay to sign Cock and a Singer, because every time he makes a mistake for you, he learns and gets better. These guys won't get better. So that's it.
I agree. And in England under-20s, they've got a young guy, Tom de Glanville, haven't they?
They do, yes. Who, by all accounts, I don't know, is he more of a centre than
no,
he is?
No, I think he's a 10.
Either way.
I think he's meant to be, like, the dot, very, very highly rated.
Yeah, I would go out and get someone else's...
Just let him play. They're not going to do any worse than they're doing.
No. Well, yeah. The other thing they've got, which is the most horrendous of all nightmares, is they've got two guys who play differently, but are fundamentally the same player, in that they need to start every week and have their confidence up and have everyone around them. I can't think of two worse fly halves to chop and change in and out of a team, because they need the support, and that's what, you know. But it's ridiculous. It is ridiculous. They treat them both like backups.
Yeah,
but Bath got a good win, or a win.
They got a win.
It was a good first 20 minutes from Bath, scoring three tries early on. And then I think the game kind of fizzled out.
What are they playing? They play some suicide stuff.
Well, we've said this all season.
Sorry.
If as a defensive unit you can identify and flood the defence when they're in their own 5-metre line and they're trying to sling it wide, game on.
Yeah.
Which Bath did quite well.
They did.
Early on. And I'll tell you who looked good, actually, which is a good sign for England. Jonathan Joseph.
JJ. He looked class. Yes, yeah. I agree with that.
Defensively, he's very good.
Defensive, his running game, the little grubber kick through for the Jamie Roberts try.
Yeah. Right, can I just tell you how I would have solved my problem at Bath?
Go on, your two fly half problem.
Yeah. This is what I would have done. They're talking about Cipriani, and their problem is consistency, right? You might think I'm mad here. I would have gone to Bristol, to Gloucester, knowing that they need the money to sign Cipriani. So, look, the guy you don't particularly like but you're paying a lot of money to is Owen Williams. Give us Owen Williams, because he has got star power, and he's a sort of consistent player that could and should play and not make mistakes like the other two. And then you can get rid of the wages of Rhys Priestland and then deal with the Burns situation next year. That's what I do. And actually, Owen Williams could then slide back and be a backup in the future because he is that consistent guy. Mm. Boom. General management 101. Do you like that, Sim?
No.
Why?
I would go back in time, ooh, save yourself maybe 600-700k on those two fly halves that they've got, keep Adam Hastings and Tom de Glanville, and just go, well...
No.
Hastings is an interesting one, yeah.
Now, hang on. If we had time machines, I wouldn't have come to the conclusion that I came to. So you can't use that.
Okay, fine.
How would you solve it?
They've clearly tried, and if there was a good 10 available, they'd have had them.
Why not go over to Leinster?
Maybe. No, do you know what I'd be doing? I would be banking on one of those... Oh, no, because flood. If Worcester go down, just have Duncan Weir. It'll do a job.
Or John O'Lance.
Or John O'Lance.
Or throw as much money as need be at the parents of the younger Byrne at Leinster, who plays 10. Because he's meant to be unbelievably good.
Oh, no, the even younger one.
Yeah. The 19-year-old.
Yeah, that hasn't even got into the first team yet.
Exactly.
Or Max Mellins.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Lazarski, Max Mellins.
He's young enough that he's not ready to start a business at Saracens.
Exactly. He's not a property millionaire yet, so that plays in his favour.
I don't know.
They should have gone for Owen
Williams.
Give
Mike Ford the head coach job and then get George Ford back again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's a bloody expensive business employing Ford, isn't it? Like, you think you've...
Three for the price of three.
Five.
Yeah, well, yeah. Because you pay a lot for Mike, you pay a hell of a lot for George.
Well,
Joe's a discounted rate, but...
I mean, I think Sale Shock's going to have the same problem when they get the Dupreez in. They cost a lot of money and they come as a package.
The Dupreez, who had a very good win this weekend. Do you see the Lions Sharks score?
I was going to watch that, but I didn't. Did all three of them play?
I think two of them played. I think the fly half and one of the back rows played.
One of the Barrows has gone to a different club, right?
Yes, that's correct. I haven't really been keeping track.
He's always been there. Scott Barrett.
Oh, has he always been there?
Yeah, Scott Barrett has come through at the Crusaders.
Oh, that's right.
Whereas Geordie and...
Has he?
Yeah.
How did that happen? I thought it was like primary schools where if one brother gets in, the other two automatically get in.
No, because if you're as talented as the Barrett boys are, everyone wants you.
Interesting.
Well, on that, Jack McGrath.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
You happy with that?
Pride.
Delighted.
Who saw that coming?
Shocked. It was rumoured. It'd been rumoured for a little while, but I never actually thought it would happen. So even though people are saying, yeah, this might happen, or there's talks of happening, I just never saw it. Because, well, we all know how good the Leinster setup is, how well rested they are. But I think it's interesting because Keane Healy was the number one both at Leinster and Ireland. McGrath took that spot for a couple of years, and then the competition between the two of them had kind of forced Healy back to the number one position, and McGrath wants that place back, so he wants to be starting week in, week out, rather than doing a 20-30 minute stint every 3 weeks.
And you know Leinster have probably said, actually, we've got a couple of young guys we're going to bring in that are amazing. Yeah.
That's the real story, isn't it? The story isn't like the British and Irish Lion moving clubs. It's the next British and Irish Lion that Leinster know they've got and they're not telling us.
Well, or the next two or three.
The fact they had Healy and McGrath is the reason Andrew Porter switched from loose head to tight head. Which is amazing that he managed to do that anyway.
I find it amazing that more lads don't do it, frankly.
So Andrew Porter, maybe he'll be... I don't know, do you think he'll... No, I think they...
So hang on, Porter went from loose head to tight head, right?
Yes.
So why people aren't doing this anyway? Why tight heads are not automatically playing loose head? And I know it's completely different, and I know at level 8 people don't like to do it.
Get yourself on Lions tours, though, and World Cup squads.
Exactly. And also it gets you 25 extra pay, because you're more valuable. If you can do both, it makes you so much more valuable.
What players can do that? Jason Lennon could. Martin Castro, so, Giovanni could. Mullapola can.
Historically, because you'd only ever have one prop on the bench, everyone could do it to a degree. Mm. There was some better or worse. Yeah. But now, virtually no one does. Yeah. Matt Stevens is one of the the more recent ones.
And Mullapola still does.
A little bit.
I can tell you that.
I'm just trying to think.
John Ofoa has gone to Loosehead this season. Yeah.
Has he?
Yeah, he started his game at Loosehead. Sorry?
Yeah, he can do both.
He is, he's what, 35 now?
Yeah. I mean, if you can't do it by 35...
It's a lost art, isn't it?
It's very much a dying art.
I just don't understand it. I mean, like, you go against your opposite number all the time, so you know what he's trying to do. You know how to counter it. It should be... I do understand it is difficult, because I occasionally dabble in the front row. But I also, this isn't my day job, you know, it's not what I do every day of the week. And also, you know, it's not going to give me a massive pay rise.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, Jamal Ford Robinson at the swap sides.
There you go. Jack McGrath, Ulster. That's big.
Because Ulster, from having a pretty terrible tight five, most of the time when Henderson and Best and Herring weren't playing a couple of years ago, they've actually now got a more than competitive tight five, a very good tight five. So that is good news.
I think they'll be adding any more to that group.
I would have thought so. It'd be nice to get another option at 10. Now, you've also got McPhillips and Burns. Cooney can play there a tiny bit, but it'd be nice to have like either a young guy or just another option at 10.
John Cooney, former Irish scrum half. I hope he gets back in the Ireland squad.
Well, he was in the last game of Six Nations.
Yeah, well, he played a bit in the Six Nations.
There's a few of them, but they've been in and out.
Yeah, because Luke McGrath and Kieran Marmion.
So
have both
Cooney
been.
Used to play.
Well, two of the Connacht guys were in the squad.
So you know Cooney is actually started off as a 10.
Playing Leinster Schools.
Who started off as his 9?
AJ McGinty.
Correct. More AJ love there.
So the other Premiership games that we've not mentioned so far, there was the Newcastle Saracens game, which Newcastle got nothing out of, which was a very dull first 30 minutes.
Yep.
Then a phenomenal, it was Maitland who scored it, but a phenomenal Saracens try from Faz to Spencer to back to Faz to Malins.
And if Bowden Barrett or Danny Cipriani had done Owen Farrell's offload, people would be going nuts over it.
Yeah, and rightly so, because that would just be another great highlight from the great man Danny Cipriani, whereas it's, you know, a rather rare occurrence from Owen Farrell. So I understand exactly why this has happened.
Other than that, disappointing for Newcastle not to get more out of the game.
Yeah.
Routine for
sort of exhausted, though, wasn't it?
It was a final second or 81st minute last try. There was a little bit of controversy as to whether the ball was released prior to it going into touch. But
Dean Richards was very unhappy with the officials. He said, "Why were we given such inexperienced officials? Because moments like that could be the difference."
The answer for that to Dean Richards, the answer you get the worst officials is because you're officially the worst team in the league. If you want good officials, go higher up. I actually think like the higher up teams, the games that affect the table higher up should get the best officials. So Wayne Barnes doing 4 and 5 is absolutely right. If you're a bottom team, you can't expect the most
experienced officials. Well, that makes sense in Pro. That would make sense in Pro 14. Where there's no relegation.
Yeah, but I mean, that's, you know... Why would you want
arguably the impact is bigger for the bottom team.
Yeah, but they don't deserve it. That's what I would say. They simply don't. So that's why you get your inexperienced official. That official's got to ref a game somewhere. Why should it be the guys who've done really well getting to 4 and 5 or 2 and 3 who get that...
Well, they would have been refereeing the champions at home.
Yeah, and what I would say is... It sounds like a biased argument. Yeah, from
it does.
There's a bad decision there, or arguably a bad decision there, because it was a close one.
Could have gone for them.
It just comes across a bit of sour grapes from...
And that decision could have gone for them.
Yes. The other game, the Wasps-Worcester game, was not the most exciting game, all in all, but a good win for Wasps, because they needed that win. again, disappointing for Worcester to not get anything out of it. They had a chance on the 80th minute when they went from their own 22 to deep into Wasps 22 and knocked on.
Yeah, simple one for this. I think Worcester early doors just got out-muscled. They got out-enthused. Wasps manhandled them, it looked like. And then Worcester sort of got their act together, put in a great defensive shift. It just wasn't enough, too little, too late. That is a huge missed opportunity for Worcester. Because I would have said, if you want to stay up and you're serious about it, you have to win away at Wasps. This isn't a good Wasps team. They should have won. They should have got some bonus points as well.
A very good thing for Wasps was having Sopwanga back. Because they have really struggled with Gopeth being injured long term, with Billy Searle being injured long term.
There was rumours that Wasps tried to offer Danny Cipriani. Tried to sort of have a sniff.
Pinch him back.
There's a load of clubs that have been linked with Sippers.
Yeah. Loads of teams except for one. England.
So yeah, good for Wasps, bad for Worcester. So the bottom three, So Bristol move 1 point further clear by their losing bonus point. Bottom three, nothing from that round of games. So we go to four
Newcastle
games left.
Newcastle 29.
Correct.
And then Worcester on 32.
Yep.
Leicester on 34.
34. And Friday night.
Yes, let's get into these games.
Yes.
Friday night.
Oh, sorry, just one last thing. One actual last thing from the Sale game. Eddie Jones is there. Did you say hi?
I didn't say hi, no.
Did you know he was there?
I did know he was there, yeah.
Did you also know that he was refused entrance into the...
The Sharky to watch you?
No. He went to get a coffee and a security guy goes, have you got any ID, mate?
Someone has G4S guy.
Yeah. Someone has to explain it. It's Eddie Jones. He's allowed a coffee.
Right. Friday night.
This is such a tasty game. I've gone and agreed to play a Friday night match, and now I kind of wish I hadn't.
All three of us have.
Phil can't.
Are you out of it now?
Are you sure you want to play 12, Jay? Would you not rather play 8 and I'll play 12?
I'd rather play Tighthead, frankly.
Why don't you both play in the centre? There's loads of forwards available.
Yeah.
Play 12 and 13.
Yeah, let's do that.
I don't mind.
Let's
play
12 and 13, and then we'll get it filmed. We'll get it filmed, put it up on social media.
Hang on, but you are here, Phil. It says here. Oh, no, 26.
That's, yeah, 26th I can play.
Why can't you play on Friday?
We're playing against East Lancashire.
Work stuff.
East Lancs, what do they call them? What's the nickname?
Barbarians.
East Lancs Barbarians. Friday night. That's the big game. Obviously.
Huge game. Well, if you came up, we could go for a few Negronis afterwards.
Oh, I had too many Negronis in Bristol on Friday night.
Did you? Were they extra disgusting?
Oh, so delicious.
Got sent a picture of Negroni on tap.
Yeah, that's wrong.
In Leeds.
I can't imagine. I don't know how it's becoming so popular now because it's so awful.
Someone told me.
You're not doing it right.
So. A friend of mine that had a few drinks with work on Friday night this week told me that I think it's All Bar One in London do Negronis, but they do them with Tia Maria as one of the ingredients. So the point is that it's really dry and bitter. Tia Maria is like sweet and
creamy,
artificial.
I can't think of a worse combination. Yeah, that
is not a Negroni.
It's not a Negroni. You're doing it wrong.
Anyway, this Friday, finally. 12th of April, 7:45.
Kingston Park, Newcastle v Leicester, live on BT Sport, 45-minute build-up. Strap yourself in. This is going to be punchy.
So, how do we see this going?
There's going to be nerves. There's going to be nerves. Jordan Murphy, I asked him after the game the weekend, I said, you've been involved in some big matches. Where does this rank? Is this up there as one of the biggest games in the club's history? He said, nope. Absolutely not.
Just another game.
Yes.
We have to treat it as another game.
Well, no, hang on. That wasn't the question, though. Right, you should nail him then. Sorry, Jordan, that's not the question. The question is not how you're going to treat it.
Is this one of the biggest... I've abridged, because he's basically... The short answer was no.
Okay.
But it's a big game. Then I asked him, can you treat it like just another game, though? And he said, we have to.
No, we're going to panic.
We have to. So he says they are, but in a player's mind, you've been in some relegation scraps, haven't you, Phil?
Yeah. High pressure. It's not much fun. It's interesting because when you win those games, you half want to celebrate, but you can't because it's like you can't celebrate being in that position. So it's just relief. Mm. But it is the they are high pressure games when you get into this kind of thing.
Yeah.
When Broughton Port got relegated, we won a game against either top or second. So we were wherever we were in a horrible position. We went and we won away. Couldn't believe it. All we needed to do the next day, next week, was beat Wilmsley, who were like 2 or 3 points above us, and we lost.
Oof.
And a guy had a heart attack on the opposite field to us too.
Oof.
Do you remember that?
I remember the heart attack. I didn't know it was the relegation battle.
It was the day that we got relegated, and we were trying to play a game of rugby, and someone runs over to the pitch and says, anyone got a doctor? Like, well, why? And there's like a heart attack like across the other way. So we had to play this game whilst there's paramedics and all the rest of it. Thankfully, the guy was fine and all the rest of it. But yeah, it was a crazy afternoon.
There was a metaphor happening on the next pitch.
Yeah.
Only in that case, he pulled through and you didn't.
Thanks.
Well, your season died.
9-0 before that selfish bastard, right? had his heart attack. We were 9-0 up. It completely ruined our flow.
And
we
should have manned up.
Yeah, and we had to give away our physio. A doctor went over.
Have a mint and crack on.
I know. Have
half an aspirin.
Yeah.
And by the time
the paramedics got back to him, he was up and talking. So. You know, a lot of, a relegation for nothing, really.
Predictions for Friday night.
Newcastle,
any points difference? Any league points?
Newcastle by 4-point win. And then they'll win it by 2. No, they're going to win it by more than that. They're going to win it by 8.
For the spectacle, I want Newcastle to win. I think they will. The home advantage is massive, but Leicester were looking better, and you've got to remember they were playing against Exeter.
Yeah,
and Newcastle will be nervous.
Leicester only need a handful of bonus points in reality to stay up, don't they?
Yeah.
If Newcastle win though.
I can see Worcester not getting another win.
Yeah,
bonus points. It's all about bonus points now for them.
So I think Leicester, when everything clicked for them and George Ford looked good and Johnny May looked good and Manu's getting front football, they look great. So Leicester will score tries on the plastic pitch. They'll score tries. Their defence, as I said earlier on, is just, it's so disorganised and leaky.
Do Newcastle have it in them to punish that?
I think they do. So Sanotti and Gonova both back.
Yeah.
If you can get those two firing, then yes. So I actually think this will be quite a high scoring game. So I'm seeing something like a 28-34, but I wouldn't. I'm going to say Newcastle, but I actually think Leicester might do it.
I'm with you.
Newcastle.
I am with you.
I'm sure it's going to be Newcastle.
I kind of, for the story for the league, I would like Newcastle to.
Yeah,
do
I'm
it.
Just going to say Newcastle to will it to happen.
Newcastle. So I'll say Newcastle.
Can you say
34.
Leicester, Jake? Because then it might actually happen.
Leicester.
There we go.
Thank you.
Newcastle are going to win. Right, on to Saturday. So is double header on Saturday?
Well, and Friday night we've got the big game. Edinburgh Ulster, so watch that one.
So Edinburgh Ulster and Benetton Munster's quite a big game.
Yeah.
Southern Kings Ospreys not as big.
Not so much.
Not so much, no. What channel is gone? Sorry.
So what do we call the Southern Kings now? The greatest rugby company in the world ever.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I can't remember what they're called.
But they've also this week announced a link with Toulon. There's a memorandum of understanding that they will work towards getting a link to Toulon.
What does that mean?
Well, they've not actually signed anything. They have signed.
They've negotiated a. They've negotiated their future relationship, but they haven't had it.
Yeah, I understand.
There's some loose statements around what they would like their future relationship to look like.
Fine, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, if only they could combine the recruitment genius of Toulon with the coaching quality of the Kings. I mean, that would be quite some lethal cocktail.
So, on Saturday in the Pro 14, we've got Connacht Blues.
Huge game.
Which is a massive
game.
Yeah. both vying for that third spot.
I think Blues are going to do it. I think Connacht have injury ravaged. Oh, they're at home though, aren't they?
They are at home. It was 6-5 against Zebre. They won.
I want Connacht to do it. Connacht in the Champions Cup would be brilliant. But yep. We'll see.
Then Leinster host Glasgow.
Big game.
Which, well, Leinster do not need to win. They will probably rest players for the Champions Cup semi-final, although they've already rested players, so
yes, they will.
They can't continue to rest everyone forever. Glasgow do need that win because Munster are breathing down their necks. Then Scarlets host Zebre. Scarlets, who blew a 12-0 lead at home to Edinburgh. So you'd expect a Scarlets win. And Cheetahs host Dragons. Cheetahs. Prem on Saturday.
Yeah.
So this will be an interesting game. Harlequins, 3 losses on the bounce, host Northampton Saints. There'll be points in that one.
Yeah.
There will be a lot of tries in that
Absolutely.
Game.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Quins lose again, and Sale and Bath win. And
on. Yeah.
He's on.
Absolutely on.
I think Quins at home will win.
I think they will.
Can I just ask, have you ever interviewed or... Well, you've interviewed Paul Gustard.
First time on Friday.
What do you think?
No.
Impressive man.
Really? Do you not think he's a little bit unusual in some ways?
What I got from him was that he is very honest, really honest, but also manages to be very defensive of his team. So I said to him, really, you know, you said before the game it was going to be a tough place to come. And yet, just before half-time, you opted to kick for the corner rather than take 3 points, ended up conceding a try. That's a 10-point swing at the AJ Bell Stadium. You know, do you stand by that? And he was like, you've got to give these guys the freedom to make decisions on the field. I'll never pull them up for making decisions.
So, interestingly, he also came to the press room afterwards for...
Oh, yeah, what do you think of him there?
I found him peculiar. For a start, he didn't sit down. A lot of guys do sit down. But he didn't.
He stood up and everyone crowd around them.
Yeah, I've never seen that before. So he said, you know, do you want to see Paul? No. So standing, so everyone stands around him. And then some of the things he said I just thought were unusual. Like, Sinclair came up and he, you know, obviously he defends Sinclair, but I don't believe him when he says, Kyle's Kyle and we don't have a problem with it. I mean, I just don't believe him.
Well, so, he said... The yellow card was stupid and needless, but he doesn't have a discipline problem.
I don't know. But he's got quite a quiet demeanour as well. That's the other thing. Like, there's a little bit of... who's the guy who reminds me of? You know, as soon as I say it, Saracens.
Mark McCall.
Yeah, the guy who's so low-key, I don't even remember that he's a multiple European and Premiership champion. Yeah, he has got a bit of Mark McCall about him.
Yeah,
but obviously he would. He came from Saracens.
And I like how.
Of course he would do.
I like how
Sanderson is not at all. He's the opposite end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
In terms of his introvert, extrovert personality.
Sanderson loves media, though, you can tell, can't you?
Yeah,
he's great. He loves it. He's brilliant at it.
He's exactly the opposite of Mark McCall in that regard.
The others seem to sort of look at it a little bit of like scepticism, suspicion.
Yeah.
I found Paul Gustard impressive. I liked how kind of bullish he was at times. You know, he before the game, he was like, I can't remember the exact question I asked, but he came out and went, we're not fourth by chance.
Yes. He said something very, very similar. I can't remember what it was, but he was like, yeah, we've won a lot of games. He seems to have forgot. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, that's quite forceful.
Yeah.
Although, I've got to say, there is nothing better than a Steve Diamond winning press conference. Well, I don't know, maybe a Steve Diamond losing press conference is pretty impressive.
You don't know where to look in a Steve Diamond losing press conference. You just try not to make eye contact with him.
You've got safety in numbers when you do it in that press room.
Yeah.
I'm on my own.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, when he wins, he gives you so much material.
Oh, I know, it was great. So I didn't have a lot of time, so I just got in my producer's ear, just 2 questions, because we were short of time. And so the second one was like, you're in a European... Well, I basically was like, come on, you must be... Confidence must be building about top four. We're not a top four team. We're not a top four team. No, no, no. They 100% are, potentially.
Well, he really they are in beaten. So he actually... He rode back team. On that, actually, in the press room. Because he said, we're not a top four team. So I asked him, like, why are you not a top four team? And he basically... I'm getting a paraphrasing... This is a top four team, but we didn't do enough things well enough early on in the season, okay. is what he's saying. So it's not like we're, you know, this group of players are not good enough.
In the answer to me, he said, I'm just glad we've got past 40 points now, so we're not going to get relegated.
Yeah,
it's like,
whatever.
Come on. He knows. Whatever. He must be looking at that fixture list and going, top four's ours.
Yeah. They must be. They must be. And, that and the European final, I think, is on the cards.
And Quinn's Northampton is a big, big moment in that, and I think Quinn's will win.
I think Quinn's will win as well.
I think Northampton will win. I really like how Northampton play. And also, they don't give up. So even though they've been losing, there's no shame in these losses. It's not like they're going to kick themselves and say, oh, God.
The worry for Quinn's that they've got to sort out is their scrum. They got hammered again, so they've got to sort that out.
And that is...
Northampton's scrummage is not great, actually.
Yeah, it's the packs are an area of weakness, a slight weakness for both teams. Right, the other games. Worcester host Sale. So Worcester desperate for a win.
Sale desperate for a win.
Sale, yeah. Sale. Worcester would have much preferred Quinns to win that game because Sale are really, if they lose that game, they're out of contention for a top four spot.
Yeah, I mean... Worcester are very competitive. They can score. They can play well.
Sale
are slight favourites, but it wouldn't surprise me if Worcester won.
It'll be tight, but Sale will squeak home.
Yeah, I think Sale probably will do. I think, as we said before about the pressure for Newcastle and Leicester, I think there is pressure on both teams, but the consequences of Worcester losing are enormous. The consequences of Sale losing are nowhere near, so they'll play with a bit more freedom. So, give me Sale.
Sale.
We've got Gloucester hosting Bath.
Big game. In front of the shed. Gloucester-Bath is tasty rivalry. You know, Gloucester will go all out to beat Bath.
There's going to be something funny about this game. There's going to be something incredibly Bath-ish. You know, something like they're going to pick an amazing team and somehow tin pot a loss out the whole thing. Bath to start well and then to have some dreadful mistakes, and Gloucester to capitalise, Gloucester to win with a winning bonus point.
I think Gloucester don't want to go to the end of the season needing anything, so they'll want to get it put to bed so they can...
Agreed.
So they can rotate.
And also it's Bath as well.
Yeah, it's Bath. So Gloucester will win at home.
Yeah, I think so. It's good for Bath to get Benno Urbano and Maxwell Heath back. Adding some serious muscle to that front row. But yeah, Gloucester will win that. Then at 5:30, another interesting game for both sides of the table, but Bristol host Saracens. Now, Saracens again will take the opportunity to freshen up a few players.
I think they're going to absolutely hammer Bristol. I think they'll go there fully loaded. Hammer them, even though they've got the European Cup semi-final.
No, they're not going to get because they've got the European Cup semi-final.
Maybe not then. Maybe not.
So they freshen up a few spots. Billy Vunipola didn't play. Goode didn't play.
But surely means they're going to play.
Jamie George didn't play. So
surely they're going to play this week then.
So those boys might, but some of the others who did play. Liam Williams withdrew with a tight hamstring just before the game.
I know it affected my fantasy team.
But you still might have won by 4 points. Your fourth win of the season.
Points.
Fourth out of 18.
Yeah.
I think Saracens will win. Yeah. And Saracens will... So no matter who's on the field, they will have analysed that Bristol attack from everywhere mentality, and they will find a way to combat that.
Yeah. So, this is the one team you wouldn't want to take on that particular... tactic with.
No. Watch our amazing defense. Wide balls. Wham.
You know, 122.
Wham.
Yeah. Interesting. But that's probably the least interesting game because Saracens are there home and hosed, and Bristol are safe pretty much.
They are. It's interesting because they are. All of the bottom four teams have only won six games. So Newcastle, Worcester, Leicester, Bristol all won six games. Bristol are 8 points ahead of Newcastle because of their bonus points.
Wow.
So it looks like Pat Lam was onto something after all, eh?
Yeah. And then the Sunday game, less important for the league. I think it should be more predictable. Exeter host Wasps.
Yeah. Good night.
Big Exeter win.
Yeah.
It could be another 50, that, actually.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, I don't really rate Wasps.
All I'm hoping for is that in that game is, obviously for the players, I'm hoping there's no injuries, but I'm hoping there's no injuries so the game doesn't run late, because I'm going to try and make a mad dash for the plane back to Manchester.
Oh, yeah, so you're working that.
Otherwise, it'll be a long train journey home.
Why? Sorry, where are you?
Exeter.
Gloucester and then Exeter.
Sunday, so you'll be leaving at Exeter about 6 p.m.
About half five, between half five and six. There's a plane from Exeter Airport at 6:25 from Manchester.
Get on that plane.
I've booked a seat. It's because the tickets were dead cheap.
No, are you flying out of which airport?
Exeter.
Where did we land for? Or where did we go when we went down to Newquay?
Newquay.
It was a Newquay airport.
Newquay
as well.
Airport. Yeah.
Cool airport. That I like it.
It's tiny.
Yeah, but have you noticed it's got some tornadoes based on it.
Exeter's good. It takes about 5 minutes to get through. I've never queued at Exeter Airport.
And at that time as well. Yeah. You won't even have to shout on retard.
Je suis en retard.
Like we did in France and Italy on our little trip in November.
Yes. What a weekend of rugby we've got.
Yeah. Right, exciting. Okay, well, just before we go, one last story, which we've overlooked. I can't believe that we've overlooked this. Important story. The Air Force lost to the Navy. The Senior Service beat our...
As I predicted.
Yeah, it's not great. But something very important came out of this game, something which I thought was simply just an urban myth. It is true. There is Maserati parking.
Oh, yeah.
At the stoop. And Godders, one of our listeners, Godders, Paul Godfrey, of the Pilot Episodes pod, snapped a picture and sent it to us. There really is Maserati parking in the stoop. So
no one was using it, though.
No one was using it.
Disappointed. The wing commanders obviously got in by helicopter.
Yeah, I'd imagine so.
Got shopping in. Now, a Black Hawk.
So I actually think, well, this is a direct appeal to all of our listeners, if you've got a Maserati, can S3 borrow it? particularly the ones which can, like the people carry ones. We will borrow your Maserati so we can park in the Quinn's Maserati car park and go and watch a game.
Could we, or if you are someone who sells Maserati badges, can you just send us some, put them on.
What is more likely?
Put them on a Fiat Punto and go and park it.
I'd rather you got back to us if you owned a Maserati rather than a Maserati badge. But either will do.
It's a niche request. It'll be interesting to see if we have anyone that comes back. If there's any podcast in the world that has a listener with a Maserati they're happy to lend, I'm sure it'll be this one.
Or Pilot Episodes pod. I'm pretty sure that we must have a couple of Maserati owners. Yeah, surely.
Surely.
So there you are.
On that bombshell. You know where to find us. You know what to do. Let the boys play.
The boys play.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.